Got my laptop, so let's see if it works. All right, well, happy New Year, and an appropriate song for us to start this morning as a first Sunday, into the new year. Many of us were here on the 31st. It was a good time to spend together in the presence of the Lord with the fellow saints, to remember the Lord. And to just be reminded of his faithfulness as we sang and prayed into the new year. So wonderful time. Hope everyone had a good new year and a couple days into the new year. I know that front clicker here is not going to work, so I'm going to look back to apologize for that. let me start with this. Before we start, we'll jump into the Word of God. I'm going to ask a couple questions real quick. First question for you and for everybody is how many of you started the year with a New Year's resolution? All right, don't be shy. I need hands raised. How many started with a New Year's resolution? All right. You know, when we're in church, we do this hand raise, right? We're afraid to raise our hands up high. Okay. You know, what I learned this year was well, let me ask you a second question. How many of us already failed in the New Year's resolution? Well, that's good. Okay. What I learned was that there's the word resolution that we all are so keen on using, and we've used it all throughout our lives. Really what I learned is intention. So there's resolution, and then there's intention. Intention is a little bit less strong of resolution, right? And it gives me a little bit of flexibility to maybe not be so strict. I'm giving that to you as an opportunity as well. If you don't want to make a resolution, make an intention. So it gives me a little bit of flexibility to change or move around a little bit. I thought one of my resolutions or intentions, or any kind of intention, because I think I'm going to break it. And I have specific reasons and specific times and opportunities when I think, and I know already I've planned in my mind I'm going to break it. And my intention is to not have any desserts for the first 3 months of the year. No desserts. So those of you who are serving desserts in the back, when I come by, don't give me the desserts. So I'm going to hold you accountable for that. Now, I've already had some, I know my son's birthday is coming up, so I'm going to have a piece of cake. So I feel that's an intention that I'm going to break already. So when I think about 2025, how many of us remember 2000? There's some kids here that don't remember 2000, but I remember 2000. The year 2000 was a scary year, right? Many people were so afraid of the apocalypse that was going to happen in 2000, because all the computers were going to shut down. They were not going to work anymore in 2000. And I remember I was on an internship there at that time. We were so afraid. We had every COBOL programmer out there making sure all their code was doing what it's supposed to do, and we were passing our fingers, hoping the computers don't shut down. Well, that is 2000. We all thought, many of us, at least I thought at that time, the Lord's coming with very near. Now we are here in 2025. And 2025, and I was thinking about this a little bit, as you sit down, it's a quarter of a century now into the new century. A quarter of the way into the new century. You know, some of the people, the people who are born maybe this year, we have a couple of women who are expecting. Those kids that are born this year can actually potentially see, based on life longevity here, can see the next century. Think about that. Those who were born in 1980 are going to turn 45 this year. You know, there are some of us in here. And also, if you for math geeks, 45 squared is 1.5. Okay. All right, so you see all of those different things, and I look around, I look at the news, I think about what I see on the news. I see artificial intelligence, I see that we are making over 300 launches into space this year, or planned launches into space this year, robotics, space travel, artificial intelligence. The augmented reality is going to become a mainstream in the usage of everybody. I mean, if some of these things are way above my head, way above all of our thoughts. But that's what the world is at the precipice of, and 2025 promises to be a great year of lots of interesting things and change and unknown. Financial unknowns and all those different things. Now, if we look at all of those things and we read a lot of the news, it's going to scare us and make us fearful and make us concerned and worried. With a non-biblical lens, it looks daunting, the great unknown, the uncertainty. But aren't we glad this morning that we have a different point of view and a different lens to look at the world? When I was thinking about what to share on this first Sunday of 2025, I came to the story, I recollected the story of the children of Israel as they were about to enter into Canaan, that they were right in front of the River Jordan, about to cross the River Jordan. The general point this morning will be in the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 3. We'll read a few verses. Okay, Joshua chapter 3. We're going to read a few verses. Follow along with me. Joshua chapter 3. First, we're going to be in chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. We're going to read chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. And Joshua arose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, and he and all the children of Israel lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, "When you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priest and the Levites bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, and about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way heretofore." And Joshua said unto the people, "Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." Same chapter, verses 13 and 17. Same chapter, chapter 3, verses 13 and 17. And it came to pass, so as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come round from above, that they stand upon a heap. Verse 17, and the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. The last reading this morning, chapter 4, verses 1 through 7, chapter 4, reading 1 through 7. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spoke unto Joshua, saying, "Take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe among them, and command you them, saying, Take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest stood firm, 12 stones, and you shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where you shall lodge this night." And Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel out of every tribe of men. And Joshua said unto them, "Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean we by these stones? Then you shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever." Let's look to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we are thankful to you for your word. Father God, we look to your word for guidance for this year. And Lord Jesus, I pray that you might speak through me. May it not be my words, may it be your words and your words alone. Father God, each and every one of us, Now, let's be stirred and focused on what you have for us this morning, so that we can look for your glory, honor you, and glorify you. Amen. Now, the children of Israel, they spent 40 years in the wilderness. The children of Israel spent 40 years in the wilderness, and you know, the only people that are there today about to cross Jordan is Joshua and Caleb. The rest of the whole generation have passed away. And a whole generation of people who left Egypt are no longer there about to cross Jordan. There's a new group of people. A new group of people that are ready to cross the Jordan into the promised land. But before they cross, they spend 3 days in front of the River Jordan, on the banks of the River Jordan. They spend 3 days lodging there. You know, and it says later, if you read the specific verses in chapter 3, it says that this is the time of the harvest. And the time of the harvest for the River Jordan means that the River Jordan was overflowing at that point. It's the time of the harvest where Mount Hermon and all the snow that was in Mount Hermon, it had already melted, and that all that water was flowing into the River Jordan. And when it flowed into the River Jordan, the water of the River Jordan had overflowed the banks. Some say there was about a mile or half a mile around in certain places, and about 10 feet deep. And this is the River Jordan, and the water was rushing during that time because of the harvest, because of the flow of water. And this is the water that they're looking at. And we have about 2 to 3 million people with their cattle, with their carts, with all their belongings, sitting or standing or lying down in front of that bank. They're looking at that river, and they're supposed to cross over. You know, some of them in the carpenters in that group, I'm sure said, let's make some boats, right? Mathematicians probably were, and engineers in their midst that said, well, let's make a bridge. Soldiers probably said, well, let's get ready to fight. Let's put our armor on. Let's do some exercise. Let's do some reps here so we can get ready to fight, because on the other side, they're the Midianites, and we have to fight them. I'm sure all of those thoughts probably went through the minds of the children of Israel, the people that were there. But Joshua tells the children of Israel to move on. Verse 5, and Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. He didn't tell them to build boats. He didn't tell them to build bridges. He didn't tell them to get ready to fight. He just said, sanctify yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders. Now, as we are rolling from Christmas, we go from Thanksgiving to Christmas into the New Year's, we're so busy. Right? Trying to get time on anyone's calendar, it's extremely busy. You know, I tell my family and my wife, I run my life based on a calendar. So even the things at home, whether it's doctor's appointments, whether it's kids' sporting events, has to be on my calendar. If it's not on my calendar, I'm not going to know about it, and I'm going to miss it. So that's how much we pack ourselves in. So many things we do, so many things that we are focused on. We live in a very fast-paced world, extremely fast-paced. What we should do, as we look at the precipice of this new year, is take time, as Joshua asked the people, to sanctify themselves. Sanctify means to set apart. Set aside your heart for the Lord. Set aside your heart for the Lord. In your busy calendar, in all the meetings and all the different things you have, where does the Savior fit in? Where is there time on our calendars for the Lord Jesus? You know, this is a question I ask for myself very carefully this last few days. I proclaim to love Him, I proclaim to serve Him, I proclaim that He is my Savior and my Lord, but where does He find time on my calendar? For 3 days, Joshua told them, they sat in front of the River Jordan. He told them, sanctify yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders. Now we are filled with activities in our lives, and sometimes good ones. But a lot of, let me say, a lot of times good ones. Even things that we are so encumbered by, even for in our church activities, all of those things. But it is good. My experience in this time that is changing over again. There's nothing special that goes from December 31st to January 1st. There's nothing special. But it gives us a time to pause a little bit. Gives us a time to take a moment and to look at what our relationship and walk with our Savior is like. Reevaluate our relationship and walk with our Savior. You know, time is the greatest commodity that we have. We should really look at how we use our time, how we spend our time. You know, the other thing that kind of probably got to me the other day, there is a digital well-being app on my phone. I think all of you should have it. Take a look at your digital well-being app on your phone. And I looked at that, and I looked at the monthly average, and I looked at the amount of time that I am in front of that phone. That can look to me. I took that time, and I said, well, that plus the time that I work, plus the time that I spend with my children, the entertainment time, and to add all that up together, time for just simply scrolling. I looked at that, and I said to myself, well, if Jesus is the most important thing in my life, how much time do I set apart for him? Take some time, reevaluate your relationship and your walk with the Savior this new year. Spend a few moments just to think about one-on-one with your Savior, where Jesus, the one that loved you, the one that gave himself to you, the one that sacrificed himself, the one we remember this morning, the one who is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords of the whole universe, the one who loved you. That the lady that we heard about this morning, she stood there while all these people were about to accuse her. No one could stay close. There is only her. Because Jesus said, to her, I will forgive you. That Savior, that Lord, that Master, how much time do we have for him? Let's take a few moments as we. Before we wander into the busyness of our lives, before we wander into the things that we've already planned, you know, I've already planned what we're going to do this year for vacation in the summer. I've already planned what we're going to do for vacation in spring break. That's all planned out already. We think about all of those things, we do so well about planning. We do so well about setting apart our time. How much time do we set apart for the Lord Jesus? A good time as we break into a new year to reevaluate our relationship and our walk with the Lord Jesus. You know, as you reevaluate your walk and relationship with the Lord Jesus, the next thing you'll realize as we go back to scripture here in Joshua, we know that they are facing the River Jordan in front of them. Each and every one of us, you and I, each and every one of us, I'm going to have some personal Jordans in front of us, some impossibilities that's in front of us. We talked about how the water was flowing all over the place, how it was going to be extremely deep. How are we going to get 2 to 3 million people across that body of water? That impossibility was staring them straight in the face, and they didn't have an answer. You and I are going to be in the same situation this year, for sure. There's going to be impossibilities in our lives. There's going to be things that we don't know how to handle, we don't know how to look at. We have no clue how we're going to handle those things. Well, when I think about when the children of Israel were there at the banks of the River Jordan, God didn't tell them early that they were going to be there at the banks of the River Jordan. You know, if you told me that, you told me right now on January 5th that I'm going to go through some kind of struggle in June, I'm going to be going crazy. I'm going to go mad. I'm going to worry about it. I'm going to try to build a plan. I'm going to try to build some kind of, figure out some kind of way to get out of it. That's not what God wants us to do. God wants us to know that there will be Jordans in front of us for sure. There will be difficult times. There will be times where we don't know what to do. But in those moments, come to chapter 3, verses 8 to 11. Chapter 3, verses 8 to 11. And thou shalt command the priest that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Hivites, and the Perizzites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. Remember his faithfulness. Look to the year past. Look to the year that went by already. Think about the Jordan moments that we've already had. And think about how faithful he has been. The ark of the covenant. And why is it the ark of the covenant? It's the covenant because God had already made a promise. He had already made a promise to the children of Israel that he was going to take care of them. So he has made the same covenant to each and every one of us. Remember his faithfulness. Because God has already made the covenant. He said, he's already made the covenant to us. He's already promised that he is going to get us over the Jordans in our lives. The living God is the same that is here yesterday, today, and forever. And for sure, we're going to have challenges. We're going to have struggles. You know, nothing is guaranteed for each and every one of us. But the greatest assurance for them and for us and for all of us, that God already knew that there was going to be a Jordan. God already knew that there was going to be a Jordan in front of them. And he had a way and a plan to get them past. You know, God didn't come to bring the Israelites to the bank of the River Jordan and then think, oh, what am I going to do now? God already had a plan for him. He had already figured out that for them long before. So when the children passed, the Lord went first in the ark to show them their way. And when the ark stood in the midst of the river, you know, think about this. When God asked the ark and the priest to stand in the midst of the river, they stood in the midst of the river on dry ground. But they stood in front of this big, great wall of water. Not only is God going to walk us through Jordan, but when he walks us through Jordan, he's also going to remind us who it is that walks us through the Jordan. That big wall of water that was in front of them, that big wall of water that was telling them that as they're walking on the dry ground, as the carts and the animals and all those people, as they're walking on the dry ground, he's saying, remember me. Remember me. And that giant chasm of that water was above them. But God was in it. God was in it. And he was holding it still. He made sure that they walked on dry ground. The water did not touch them. As you look back to 2020, as you look behind into 2024, remember those times in your Jordan moments. Remember that the Lord Jesus was there with you as you passed through the Jordan. Remember the Lord Jesus said, I am here, I already have a plan. Just follow me. Just follow me. The children of Israel remember the faithfulness. But that's what they're supposed to do. Come down with me to chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. Chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. Where they were supposed to remember God's faithfulness, but not only were they supposed to remember God's faithfulness, but they were supposed to resurrect memorials. They were supposed to resurrect memorials. Chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. Chapter 4. Joshua chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. And it came to pass when all the people that came passed over to him. But the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Take you 12 men out of the people, out of every man and tribe, and command you them, saying, Take you hence out of the midst of the Jordan, out of a place where the priest stood firm, 12 stones, and he should carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where we shall lodge this night. We wanted them to remember his faithfulness. We wanted them to remember that it was God that walked them through the river Jordan. But he also wants them, after the miracle, right? After God has gotten them over to the other side of the river Jordan, after all the cattle and all the 22 to 23 million people that were on the other side of the river Jordan, God wants us to resurrect some memorials for his faithfulness. That is it. What did he want them to resurrect in the morning? You know, we forget the faithfulness. We forget the times when God has been so gracious to us. We forget that God has been so kind. We forget when a new challenge comes, when a new Jordan comes to us in 2025. How many of us, our first instinct is to go back to the memorial and remember what the Lord has done the last time? I'll tell you myself, the first thing I go to, please let me through this Jordan this time. Seldom do I go back and remember what the Lord has done last time. I so easily forget. Human beings are so prone to forget. These stones that were there in Gilgal, that was from the bottom of the river Jordan. So they were different stones, and they were not small stones. They were pretty big stones, because in verse 5 it says, the stone upon his shoulder. If it's a small stone, put it on top of my shoulder. I had to be big enough to carry it on my shoulder. So these were big stones, and there was 12 of them. And those 12 stones were there sitting on the banks of Gilgal, reminding the children of Israel as a memorial, God's faithfulness, of what the Lord Jesus has done for them, has done for us. Now, the dry ground is not something that's so easily dismissed in our minds. But think about if the river had to be dry. How many of you have dealt with groundwater issues in your house? Anyone? I have. In Virginia, we had a groundwater issue coming into our basement. We didn't know where it was coming from. We had all sorts of people come out and try to figure out where it's coming from. They just couldn't figure it out. They said it's groundwater somewhere. They try to figure out where it's coming from. It's still wet. They hadn't rained for days. It's still wet. But can you imagine? This is the dry ground that the children of Israel walked through, where it was completely dry. It had to be dry. It couldn't be marshy. It had to be dry. And it says multiple times that it was dry. So that all the ox cart and all the children, all the different animals, all of them could be walking through it. And all that groundwater somehow evaporated. It was gone. God did it. God still does it in our lives. God still does it in our lives. Set up some traditions of memorials for each and every one of us. Set up something physical that we remember of God's faithfulness. My wife has a box that is, she calls it a keepsakes box. And a keepsakes box has birthday cards, notes that I've written to her, what kids gave her, any special events, things that are written in writing. She puts them in that box. Now, she's also made a box for me. But the box for me is pretty clear. The box for her is not that clear. It reminds me often of how much more I ought to show her those acts of love. But maybe it keeps this box. A picture. There's something that will remind you of God's faithfulness. You know what else we can use as a reminder of God's faithfulness? Scars on our bodies. Scars on our bodies sometimes tell about God's faithfulness. I'll tell you the story. My wife had a thing out of me about 2 years ago. We sat in front of the surgeon, and he told us about all the things that were going to happen during the surgery. He told us about all the mitigating details, things that we had no clue about. He told us about all of those things, and after he did, he asked if we had any questions. He said we had no more questions. Jim, he told us, you forgot to ask the most important question. But what is the most important question? He told me, you did not ask how big the scar was going to be. But he wanted to just prove to us that he was going to do a really good job in the surgery, and the scar was going to be really small, which it was. But I tell you, dear brother, the scars to this day reminds me God's faithfulness. A scar even to this day reminds me as a memorial of God's faithfulness. Raise memorials in our lives. Think about those memorials in our lives. And make sure you remember what the Lord Jesus has done for us. We ask them to remember. We ask them to resurrect memorials. And the last thing from them. Last thing he asked us, the last asked the children of Israel to do was chapter 4, verse 20 to 24. Chapter 4, verse 20 to 24. And the 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spoke unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children ask their fathers in times to come, saying, let you eat these stones, then we shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan before you until ye were passed over. As the Lord your God did in the bridge of the Red Sea, which he dried up from before until you were gone over. That all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord that is mighty, that we might fear the Lord your God forever. Recite the God's faithfulness in your lives. You know, if you think about, I don't know how, what the proximity distance was between Jericho and what the river Jordan was. But you can imagine Jericho was a big city, big wall, right? Either they saw it or they heard about it. What did they hear about? They heard about that the river Jordan, in the middle of the harvest season, stood still. And I'm sure they also heard about the 12 stones that were in Gilgal. Recite what the Lord has done for you in your house. What memorials filled your household, and how many times do you remind your children of what the Lord Jesus has done for you? How he has got you through your river Jordan. We have really nice pictures on our walls of the good times. Do we have any memorials in our homes as we walk our children in our home, as we talk to our children in our home, as we teach them different things? Is there something you can point to anywhere else that talks about the difficult times? That talks about the times when the Lord Jesus held your hand and walked with you. That teaches them of all the things that the Lord Jesus has done for you. How about the day when you came to know the Lord? When's the last time we remembered or reflected about that or recited again about that? When's the last time we remembered the day when the Lord Jesus met you and changed your life? We're really good at celebrating birthdays. We do it in a momentous way many times in the country and with people. But do you know the day when you were spiritually saved? Your spiritual day. Do you remember those days? Do you remember the time when the gospel was so vivid in your life? You know, the other thing that's very long in my life, that prayer list is very long. And my praise list is usually very short. My prayer list is very long, but my praise list is usually very short. Shouldn't it be the other way around? Shouldn't my praise list be extremely long? Shouldn't my praise list be filled with the things that the Lord Jesus has done for us? Shouldn't my praise list be filled with all the things that He has blessed us with? How abundantly, how countless and riches and blessings that He has given to us? Shouldn't my praise list be longer than our prayer list? Not to say we shouldn't pray, but He's already made a covenant with us. He will take care of us. Not to say we shouldn't ask. Shouldn't we thank Him? Shouldn't we praise Him? Shouldn't we give Him thanks for all that He's done for us? So when you meet your Jordan this year, when you're in front of it, first of all, remember this faithfulness. Look upon the memorials that you have raised. Tell the story again, over and over again, of what the Lord Jesus has done for you. Home to your children, home to your neighbors, home to your co-workers. Tell them about the valley that you were in and how your Savior brought you through. Remember, resurrect, recite. You know what the children of Israel were given so that they won't forget? The children of Israel were given the Feast of the Tabernacles, or booths, or tents. They were supposed to go and make a temporary hut, or a temporary tent, and live in that tent, and to be reminded of the days when they were in the wilderness in the desert, when they were in Canaan, when they were on the other side, when they were living in old houses, when they were living in houses that they did not build, when they were living in and enjoying wells that they did not build. That's the one of them to remember. God wanted them to remember, and He told them to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Booths, and He told them to be reminded of the times when they were in the wilderness. And remember the time they were in the wilderness when the pillar of fire was there at night. Think about that. The pillar of fire was there in the desert in the middle of the night. And a cloud during the day. And when you wake up in the morning, there's manna. There's food for you. And there's water from the rock. I didn't want them to forget. He told them to go live in tents. During the feast, so you won't forget. I encourage each and every one of us, myself mostly included, this year as we start, first of all, reevaluate your walk with the Lord. Remember God's faithfulness in the past. Look at those memorials that you have resurrected. Recite them. Tell them over and over again. I hope these words and the story of the children of Israel are an example. Give us a challenge and give us exhortation. But I don't want to walk out of here, out of the doors of UFBC without some actual application that we're going to do this year for us, for each and every one of us. So I have a couple of application questions for me and for each and every one of us. First and foremost, as you reevaluate your walk and your relationship with the Lord, you know, we're all in different phases. There are some new Christians, there are some old Christians, some Christians who are in the middle of their journey. All of us have different experiences, and we can all take a little bit of time to reevaluate, because I think we can all do better. And what would God want us to do? So when we do that reevaluation, the question for me was, what am I going to do differently in 2025? What am I going to do differently in my spiritual walk in 2025? And the second question that's very closely aligned with it is, did the kingdom benefit with my spiritual gift last year? If not, how am I going to do better this year? Did the kingdom benefit with my spiritual gift? If not, how am I going to do better this year? You know, as all of us that sit here at the UFBC, no one gets to be on the sideline. On the football field, there's 52 men on the team, but only a few get to be on the field. Only a few get to be on the field. We all get to be on the field for the Lord. Every single one of us get to be on the field. We have been given talents. We have been given gifts. We are supposed to use them. Let us make sure we have no regrets when we see the Lord. We don't need to be on the sidelines. My third one there is more than encouragement. We tell the story of God's deliverance and faithfulness. Whether it's your testimony or your dream experience, make sure you take time this year to tell the story. When you tell the story, the Lord Jesus will work. The Lord Jesus will work in the hearts of who you tell the story to. Remember, resurrect, recite. Don't let 2025 be the same as 2024. We don't know how much of 2025 we're going to see. But every day that you have been given, that I have been given, that each and every one of us has been granted so graciously by Almighty God, let's make sure that 2025 is a little bit closer to be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus. A little bit more like the Lord Jesus. A little bit more like Him. To serve Him better. To use our talents better. To tell our stories of what the Lord Jesus has done for us. Let us not have any regrets. I will leave you with those questions. As applications in our hearts, make sure as we hear the word of God, we also apply them and make changes in our lives. I'll close with this. We're doing this if we don't kind of see the parallel from the message to what we just did this morning. If we don't see the parallel from the message to this morning, this do in remembrance of me till I come. Lord Jesus said, this do in remembrance of me till I come. You know, when He gave us that memorial, He gave us something very tangible, something very physical, something we can taste, something we can touch, something we can see, something that brings all of our senses together so that we as humans cannot say we forgot. Remember me. When you look at our time of remembrance this year, thinking of God, with ever so keen focus and reflection and reminder of what the Lord Jesus has done for us. As we celebrate that memorial each and every single, being reminded of what has done for us. How awesome, how perfect are those emblems and those memorials that He has given, make sure that we don't forget. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, we have a heavenly Father. We do thank You this morning. Father God, we are grateful to You that You are in our midst this morning. And we thank You for Your word, and we know that Your word is true. And Lord Jesus, Your word not only gives us comfort, but it also challenges us to do better. But Father, we pray that we might not just be comforted in our hearts, but we also might be challenged as we look forward to the great unknown of what we know or we don't know. But we know the Lord Jesus, who has made a covenant with us, will walk with us, will help us when we face Jordans, will help us through all the trials and temptations and difficulties of this life. Father God, help us to reevaluate our walk with You. Reevaluate our relationship with You. We know that we can do better. We don't need to kid ourselves, Lord Jesus, we know we can do better. And Father God, we pray that by the grace of God, You might help us to do better. Help us to walk in truth. Help us to walk in Your ways. Help us walk in the Holy Spirit. And Lord Jesus, we pray that You do come soon. And if You're coming to us, we pray that You might find us be faithful when You come. Thank You again, Lord Jesus, for what You've done for us. We pray as we go out there into this room that we might serve You better. Amen. And to glorify You. Christ's name, we pray.